This year is dedicated in memory of my uncle. I don't need to talk about his greatness. Certainly the teacher of the generation, besides being the Gaon of the generation. But I'll say over some Divrei Torah, and in the process of saying over the Divrei Torah, we'll focus on the Haggadah, but in the process of saying over the Divrei Torah, and especially at the end, I will use that to talk a little bit about my uncle. We're approaching the seventh day of Pesach. Today is the fourth day, the second day of Chol HaMoed. And I don't know if there's any message in it, but my uncle's yahrzeit, there is some question, but it's observed on the Matzeva. I took a look. It's the second day of Chol HaMoed. And my father's Chol HaMoed Pesach, my father's yahrzeit was the second day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. But, and the seventh day of Pesach is identified with the Shira. There is some contradiction in Rashi as to the Shira or as the seventh day or the eighth day. But certainly in the halacha, it's identified with the seventh day. That's why we read Daz Yashir on the first day of on the first of the last 2 days of Yontif. And it seems that the Shira represents to a certain degree the culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the leaving of Egypt, not just the Kriyas Yamsuf, but the Shira itself represents the culmination or the first stage, the culmination of the first stage of the Exodus from Egypt. And I just want to try to understand how that is so. Now, one of the famous questions, not in the Haggadah, but about the Seder. One of the questions is, why do we wear a kittel Pesach night? And there are answers, many answers given. The Netziv says, because you need special clothes when you would eat the Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach was Mishulchan Gaboa. It was, so to say, from God's table, so to say. It was the part of the carbon that we were allowed to eat, that we were required to eat. And because of that, we have to dress in a special way. And the kittel is identified with a special form of dress. My grandfather, it's brought down that my uncle would say, that my grandfather would say, that the reason we wear a kittel is to arouse questions, because we always try to do things in a manner that the youngster will ask questions, and even things that the answer isn't in the Haggadah, a Pesach night. And the question is, why do we encourage the asking of questions? Those that we have, those questions like, why do we eat matzah? What the purpose of eating matzah? The Haggadah answers, matzah zu shanochlam al shumma. But what's the purpose in having a child asking a question? Why are you wearing a kittel Pesach night? The kittel is identified with the clothes that the people who passed away are buried in. It's identified with tachrichin. But there is no real answer given to the child in that question from the perspective of the exodus of Egypt, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I was wondering, what is the purpose? Yes, my grandfather says that from the Rambam it appears that we should encourage questions, even questions that there is, that doesn't directly have to do with the Haggadah. But the question is, why is it that way? And I was thinking, of course, there are limitations on that, but I was thinking that part of the reason is because, and it's interesting, that the Vilna Gaon, he says the four questions that we say in the Haggadah correspond with the four Lashonos of Gula, with the four expressions of freedom that are mentioned. So I think that the explanation is, in a sense, when you're able to ask questions, and again, there are certain questions that we do not encourage, but when you're able to ask questions, there is a certain sense of freedom. And this is the night of Cheres. And it's also the night of Chinuch. And we want this child, as he grows up in life, that he shouldn't just do. Of course, what the Torah says, he has to just do. There are no questions of why regarding the Torah. Only questions of what. I remember I would hear my uncle say in Shiurim, I explained it a little differently, but Manishtana Halayla Zed doesn't mean why is this night different, but what made this night different? So with questions, a child should understand that he has to try to understand. It's not just a question of acceptance, but it's a question of understanding also. And so perhaps we're encouraging questions, Pesach at night, for this sense of, that the child should understand this sense of freedom. And that it's not just for Pesach night, but this is an educational tool and an educational necessity for him. Lo habayshan lo meid. The Shana Yodea Lishol, we say at psachlo. Almost we encourage him to ask himself. And I think that this is, as opposed to many others in the yeshiva community, and when there was an important issue, my uncle would always let his opinion known. But very often, he would encourage his Talmidim to try to think themselves, to try to understand themselves. Issues will come up and have come up after the Rebbe is no longer there. And who are you going to follow? And sometimes people meaning well could give the wrong answer, could give the wrong direction. I was told that sometimes when someone would ask him a question, he would start off by saying, well, what do you think? And sometimes he would say, that's my opinion. So Pesach night is dedicated to this idea that it's a night of freedom, but it's a night of freedom. Freedom encourages us to think, and learning necessitates thinking, not the frustration of thinking. So I think that perhaps we could understand, I don't know that that's what my grandfather meant, but we could understand my grandfather's explanation from that perspective. And I think, just as a side point, and I'll go into other explanations as we get through the share here, but another possible explanation is by regarding Yom HaKippurim, the halacha was, the Torah tells us, it's true, we learn out from the avodah of Yom HaKippurim to avodah in every day, but a certain halachas. But the Torah tells us that no one was allowed, when the Kohen went into the Kodesh Kedoshim to with the Torahs, there wasn't even allowed to be in the Kodesh Kedoshim or even outside the Kodesh Kedoshim. Even not only another person, but even a malach. The idea, it represents the idea that the avodah is something that focuses on HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, without any intermediaries. And regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim, our sages tell us, Aniva lo malach, aniva lo hashliach. I and not even a malach, not an angel, not a shliach, not a messenger. There couldn't be any messenger as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Still, many of the Mefarshim say that when we talk to the sons, the exception being the Ben Chacham, who understands, we have to emphasize HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. There is no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's one mention of Moshe in the Haggadah and in a part of the Haggadah that is not really a requirement. In other words, we have to, there's a certain emphasis that sometimes when we focus on man, and what man did, and even if it was the person doing the will of God, sometimes there is a danger that it takes away from our recognition of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for what God did. And in order to identify the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, with the idea of ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo hashaliach. So, because of that, there was a custom, perhaps, I'm suggesting as a possibility, to wear the kittel, which is a white clothes, which was, in a sense, identification with the avodah of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kedoshim, who wore the big day lovin, who wore the white clothes. And this too, sometimes we come, those of us who go to yeshiva, and we hear the opinions of Gdolei Yisrael, and some people who are perceived to be Gdolei Yisrael. The focus sometimes is taken away from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to what they want. And it's important for us to know, aniva lo malach, aniva lo shliach. Yes, we need teachers. We need teachers to teach us. But our responsibility, our ultimate responsibility, is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. And I think, without emphasizing it because he didn't want to get into conflict, my uncle's whole demeanor expressed this idea of ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo hashaliach. Today we have many people who try to give people the impression that they are the shliach. And to a certain degree, we are all shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have to understand, it's not the will of these people that we have to submit to, but it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to submit to. Yes, we need teachers to teach us what the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, or how we could best understand what the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But sometimes the influences of listening to certain people become so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets lost. And this is part of the Pesach is Aniva lo Malach, Aniva lo HaShaliach. Now, regarding the mitzvah of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah, so the halacha is that when you say Gal Yisrael, immediately afterwards, in Ma'ariv we have a Kaddish in between. There's a discussion how we can have a Kaddish in between, but we should start Shemun Esrei. Rabbi Yochanan says that the mitzvah of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah applies not only in Shacharis, but it applies also in Ma'ariv. And then the Gemara asks, well, but we say Hashkiveinu. How is it that we say Hashkiveinu at night, if there is a mitzvah of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah? So the Gemara says that Hashkiveinu, the bracha of Hashkiveinu, is an extension of the bracha of Gula, of Gal Yisrael. And the Gula Richta, it's a long Gula. And then Tosfos asks, of course, not everybody says it, what about Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen? There too. So Tosfos says, there's some question who formulated the Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen. Some say the Rabbani Svarai, some suggest the Gonim, some implied that it was the later Amorayim. But the question is, how is it that we're able to say it? Okay, Hashkiveinu is a Gula Richta. It's an extension of the Bracha of Gula of Gal Yisrael. But what about Baruch Hashem Lom Amen V'Amen? And Tosfos says, that's also Gula Richta. And my uncle in one of the Shiurim, he's troubled. What is it that identifies Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen and Hashkiveinu? What makes it a Gula Richta? Is it just a takana? They said it's not a hefsek, so they should say it was a takana. It was something that the Chachamim established, that the Chachamim decreed. How is it that it's called Geula Richta? And my uncle pointed out that really in the Bracha of Geula, Gal Yisrael, two things are emphasized. One is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and the other is the idea that we give ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God protects us. And we see that in the Shacharis. It's the acceptance of the God as king. Now, we see that in Shacharis Shemun Esrei, my uncle said, we say Shira Chadasha, Shibchu Gulin Lashim Chaspas Hayam. This is talking about the Oz Yashir. Yachad, all together, Kulam Hodu, they gave thanks for him, Vihimlichu. And they proclaimed sovereignty of God, the Amru, and they said, Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vaed. And then we say, Tzur Yisrael, Kuma Bezrash Yisrael, Uftechen Umecha, Yehud of Yisrael. So protect, arise, help the Jewish people, deliver the Jewish people. And then Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. So important elements in the Bracha of Gula is the idea of recognition and proclamation of God as King, but also in giving ourselves over to God who is King and having faith in his protection. And the same thing we find in the Ma'ariv Shemoneh Esrei, in the Ma'ariv Bracha of Gula. Malchus Karov and Nechaba Kayam Nathan Moshe, Zekeli Anu Bambru, Hashem Yimloch La Olam Vaed, Venema Kifada Shemesh Yaakov, when God has delivered Jacob, Ugolom Yakhozak Mimenu, and saved him from a stronger hand, Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. And then, in Hashkiveno, which we consider the Gula Richta. So my uncle said, we say, Ki Kel Shomreinu Matzleinu Ata. You, God, watch over us and you save us. Ki Kel Melech Hanun Verachum Ata. Because you are a gracious and a merciful God and King. And you guard our going out and our coming in for life and peace forever. So it has both these elements, the elements of recognizing God as King, and at the same time, it has the elements of God giving ourselves over to God and being protected by God. And then Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amen V'Amen, which some say, and our family didn't say it. V'Hay Hashem L'melech Al Kol Haaretz. Baruch Hashem B'Kumeni Ki B'Yodcha Nafsho Sechayim V'Amesim Mashir B'Yodha Nefesh Kol Chai. Ruach Kol Sarish, Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi. In your hand, I commit my spirit. And then Hashem Kel Almes Elkeinish Veshemayim Yachet Shimcha Bekayim Malchuscha Tamid. And establish your kingdom forever. Umloch Aleinu Lolam Vaed, and reign over us forever and ever. And then we say, well, those who say it, we say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch, Lom Vaed, Ki Amochul Shokhoi, Ome Atimlo, because the kingship is yours. Ki Ein Lonu Melech Alata, you are our only king. So again, you have both elements there. And of course, in the Kaddish, we say we talk about God B'Yamlech Malchusei. So we speak of God as being King. So all of this shows. My uncle said the Hashkivenu and the Baruch Hashem L'olam Amen V'amen are extensions of the Gula. It's a Gula Arichta, an extended Gula. Now, I want to suggest, I want to add something to what my uncle said, and might be actually an explanation of what he said. But in doing so, I want to discuss certain elements in the certain parts of the Haggadah. Now, there are two mitzvahs of Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim, two mitzvahs of making mention of the Exodus of Egypt. One mitzvah applies every day, and according to some opinions, on a biblical level, every morning and every evening. And that is the Jews from the Pasuk L'man Tizkor Yom Seisvam Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha, in order that you shall remember the day you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. And we fulfill that mitzvah when we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Leilokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Emes. So when we recite in the Vayomer the last verses, that is the mitzvah of every day, and perhaps every day and every night, of making mention of the Exodus from Egypt. But then there is a special mitzvah, Pesach and night, which is the Jews from the Pasuk, V'igadata Levincha B'yamahu Leimor, and you shall tell your children on that day. And according to some Rishonim, it's really a difference between the Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael and the Mechilta of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Zochar es yom hazeh sheyetzasam me'aretz Mitzrayim, remember this day that you went out from the land of Egypt. So there's a special mitzvah of talking Pesach night about the Exodus. Of course, Pesach night, when we talk about the Exodus, it's said in greater length, in greater detail. But nevertheless, there are two separate mitzvahs. And the Haggadah, which is used in fulfillment of the mitzvah of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, of talking about the Exodus from Egypt of Pesach night, mentions how Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's a Mishnah Gemara Brachas. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hareini Kaven Shivim Shana, like 70 years old. It's okay. There's all kinds of explanations that. Ulo Zachisi Shitamo Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos. I did not able to prove that mention of the Exodus has to be made not just in the day, but at night also. Achidorsha Benzoma, until Benzoma came, and Benzoma said, Laman Tizkoras Yom Seisva Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. The Pasuk says, in order that you shall remember the Exodus of Egypt, will make reference to the Exodus of Egypt all the days of your life. Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, that's Hayamim, that's the days. Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life, comes to say that it's not enough to make reference to it in the day, but you have to make reference to it at night also. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion is that on a biblical level, we are required to make mention of the Exodus every day and every night because of this pasuk. But the Chachamim disagree with him. The Chachamim say, Yemei Chayecha Ha'olam Hazeh. When the Pasuk says the days of your life, it means this world. Kol Yemei Chayecha, but when it comes and says all the days of your life, it comes to tell us that even when Mashiach comes, we will have to make reference to the Exodus from Egypt. So there is a question, but we paskin, we accept the view of Ben Zoma. And Ben Zoma's opinion is that the mitzvah of Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is in the day and at the night. But that's only half of Ben Zoma's opinion. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that Ben Zoma said to the Chachamim, because the Chachamim said, it comes to tell us that we have to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the Exodus from Egypt. We have to talk about it the Chacham say we have to talk about it now, and we have to talk about it even when Mashiach comes. So he says, Ben Zoma says, "B'chi maskirin yetzias Mitzrayim l'asulavo." Are we going to mention about the Exodus from Egypt in the future? But the pasuk tells us that there's going to come a time when the miracles of the return of the Jewish people from exile will be so great that the Jewish people will no longer talk about the Exodus from Egypt, but instead will talk about leaving the present Golus, leaving the present exile, and returning to Eretz Yisrael. So how could you say that in the future, after Mashiach comes, every day we're going, every day we're going to have to make reference to the Exodus, even when Mashiach comes? But the Navi tells us that there'll come a time when the Exodus from Egypt will not appear as great as the Exodus from this exile, and people will not make reference to the Exodus from Egypt and only make reference to the Exodus from this exile. So Ben Zoma's opinion on one hand is that we have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to mention the Exodus from Egypt day and night. But Ben Zoma says, but when Mashiach comes, on a daily basis, it will not be mentioned. On a daily basis, it will not be mentioned, and it's not required to be mentioned in the future when Mashiach comes. Now the Rambam, he paskins like Ben Zoma. And he says that we have to make reference to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to make reference to the Exodus, both day and night. But at the same time, the Rambam doesn't say that we're not going to make reference when Mashiach comes. If one reads the Rambam just says the mitzvah is day and night. And without saying that the future will have a different requirement, that requirement will no longer be there. So we have to understand the Rambam. And then another question. This is a question that many of the Achronim ask. We mentioned that there are two separate mitzvos of Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering our exodus from Egypt, one that applies on a daily basis, and the other that applies specifically Pesach night. The one that mentions Pesach night, the Rambam includes in his count of the 613 mitzvos. But he does not include in his count of the 613 mitzvos the mitzvah of mentioning reference to the Exodus every day and every night. And the question is, why doesn't the Rambam mention it? And Reb Chaim And then Reb Chaim answered that question. Reb Chaim actually gave two answers. And my uncle, in the Shirim L'Zeich Abba Mori, the first piece, he discusses these answers of Reb Chaim extensively. But Reb Chaim gave two answers. One answer is because he felt, on the basis of the Reb Chaim felt, that according to the way we paskin, not that there aren't opinions in the Gemara that disagree, but according to the way we paskin, the mitzvah of Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, of making reference on both day and night to the exodus from Egypt, that's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The Rambam's opinion, it seems, was paskin, there might be a disagreement in the Gemara on that, but the Rambam's opinion is that all three parshios, Reb Chaim felt, were biblically part of Kriya Shema. Kriya Shlosha parshios elu al seder hazeh, he hanikra Kriya Shema, is what's called Kriya Shema. So all three parshios, Reb Chaim assumed the Rambam is talking on a biblical level. So all three parshas are part of Kriya Shema. So that means the parsha Vayomer, which discusses the Exodus, is also part of the mitzvah of Shema, of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, of declaring the unity of God, of accepting the yoke of God. And included in it is accepting the yoke of Torah and mitzvos. But included in it also is making reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the exodus from Egypt. So the Rambam mentions in among the 613 mitzvos, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So there was no need for him to count a separate mitzvah of Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the exodus from Egypt, because it's included in the mitzvah of Shema. However, Reb Chaim gave another answer. He says, we paskin like Ben Zoma. Okay, I have a difficulty with this. And he says, and Ben Zoma says that the mitzvah will not apply in the future. And the Rambam establishes that when we talk about 613 biblical mitzvos, we are talking about the mitzvos that apply forever. And since this mitzvah will not apply when Mashiach comes, so therefore it's not included among the 613 mitzvahs, even though it's a biblical mitzvah, but to a certain degree, it's only a temporary biblical mitzvah. That's what Reb Chaim said. But there's an additional question that has to be asked, and that is, why does the Haggadah mention this? The Haggadah focuses on Pesach night. Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. It talks about the mitzvahs of Pesach night. Matzah zu shanolchem al shema. Why do we eat this matzah? Why do we eat this maror? Why did our ancestors eat Pesach night, the Karban Pesach? The argument that the Haggadah brings between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim does not have reference to the mitzvah of Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the exodus from Egypt of Pesach night. It has reference to the mitzvah of Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the exodus every day of the year. So why is it in the Haggadah? We have to understand that. Now, I think that we could say that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that actually the two answers of Reb Chaim, the first answer of Reb Chaim is that the mitzvah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that it applies day and night. The question is, why should Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, making reference to the Exodus from Egypt, be part, especially on a biblical level, going to Reb Chaim, of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? And the simple answer is, and my uncle discusses it more at length, he says, because the Torah always associates the Exodus with recognition of God as king. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses it in regard to Malchios. In a sense, it's from the Exodus that God became our king and we became his servants. We went out of the service of Paro into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into the service of God. So in a sense, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is the foundation for the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, for the acceptance of God as king. Consequently, it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But I want to suggest that it's only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says, and Ben Zoma, who say that we have to say, make reference to the Exodus both in the day and the night, that it's part of Kriya Shema. Because the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is b'shach mechav kumecha. It's both in the day and the night. Since the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is both in the day and the night, Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, making reference to the Exodus of Egypt, could be part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema if Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim applies both in the day and the night. But if the mitzvah of Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim only applies in the day, or it applies only once in a 24-hour period, then it couldn't be part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. It has to be something separate, something altogether different. So the question is, what is it? What is it, according to the Chachamim, that since the mitzvah of Kriya Shema on a biblical level only has to be said once during the day, and it doesn't have to be said day and night, so it couldn't be part of the mitzvah of Shema, which has to be recited day and night? What's the nature of the mitzvah? And the answer is, the nature of it's a mitzvah, it's shevach. It's giving praise to God, that God took us out of the service of Paro, that God redeemed us. So there are two approaches to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said that it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, he saw it as the foundation of the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. Whereas the Chachamim saw it as an expression of praise of God. And I think perhaps that's what Ben Zoma said. Ben Zoma said to the Chachamim, you Chachamim say that we are going to mention the Exodus even when Mashiach comes. We're going to mention the Exodus even when Mashiach comes. He says, but the Navi says, that's not going to be how people are going to praise God. Because when the redemption takes place, the redemption from the present exile takes place, and the Jewish people will return to the land, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So, in a sense, people will no longer talk in praising God about Yetzias Mitzrayim. They will talk about the Gula, the future Gula, the future redemption. But according to me, Ben Zoma could say, I'm not saying the Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of every day. But I'm saying that the Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the remembering of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is The remembering of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the foundation of our acceptance of God as King, Kabbalah, and accepting His mitzvos, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, accepting the commands of God as King over us. So this is, we could say, if it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, it's the foundation of Kriyat Shema. So then Mashiach's coming is irrelevant to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But if it's a question of giving praise to God, then we would say that the praise that we give to God becomes somewhat less relevant after Mashiach comes. After Mashiach comes, and consequently, we will not focus at that time about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Exodus as praise. So the Rambam paskins like Ben Zoma that the Shema is recited. The Shema is since the Shema is recited twice, and morning and evening, B'shach B'chav Kumecha, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, is in the day and the night also. Yemei Chayecha, Kol Yemei Chayecha, Halelos. It's night and day. Consequently, it will apply when Mashiach comes, because we're not saying it as praise. We're saying it as the foundation of the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. So, and we could suggest that the Haggadah mentions this to emphasize the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah and Ben Zoma. And why? Because it wants to emphasize that even Pesach night, and Pesach night is dedicated to giving thanks to God, to giving praise to God, and to teaching about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there's another element to it, and that element is to recognizing God as King. And that's why the Haggadah mentions Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah as an opinion, in order that we should understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, is the foundation of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And it's very interesting. When you take a look at the Haggadah, at the end of the Haggadah, so one of the things, okay, this was added much later. Adir b'mlucha, b'achar k'halacha, g'dudav yomru lo, l'cha u l'cha, l'cha ki l'cha, l'cha af l'cha, l'cha Hashem hamlam l'cha, ki lo noe, ki lo yoe. Yours only, yours yes, yours surely. Eternal is the sovereignty. To praise is fitting. To praise you will always be fitting. Refer to God, Hamamlocha, sovereignty. We're proclaiming God as King. This is our reaction to the Haggadah. And it's very interesting. When you take a look at the three mitzvos that we try to explain in one form or another in the Haggadah, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So Pesach, it's called Kipasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avotei b'nei Yisrael, God skipped over. Avotei avoseinu b'Mitzrayim, because the Blessed One passed over our house and the houses of the Jewish people in Egypt. So we refer to God as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Holy One, blessed is He. However, when we come to matzah, we say, why matzah zushan olchum oshum ma? Why we say, shalohispik seikum shalavasena lahachmitz? Because the dough of our ancestors did not have time to become leavened. Achenigla aleihem, until was revealed to them, melech malchi hamlachim, the king of kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed is he, who go'olam, and he redeemed them. Shenema vayofu esabotzek ashehotzim yitzrayim ugos matz below chomet. So it's very interesting. When it comes to Pesach, God is not referred to as king. But when it comes to the matzah, God is referred as king. Why is that way? But I think we have to understand, it's interesting. The Reb Chaim of the Beis Halevi, and his Seder, he had three matzahs. Reb Chaim wanted to have only two matzahs. That's the opinion of the Rambam and the opinion of the Gra. But before he changed his custom, this I read, I did not hear this from my father. Before he changed his custom, so he discussed it with Reb Simcha Zelig. Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger was the Dayan of Brisk. And Reb Simcha Zelig felt that it was better not to change the custom, to change it from three matzahs to two matzahs. Why? He said, because in one of the piyutim that was written about the time of the Gaonim, it's mentioned that the three matzos that we have at the Seder correspond with the three matzos that we have at the Seder correspond with the three times in Parshas Lech Lecha that Avram made a mizbeach, made an altar. And Reb Chaim said to him that he has trouble with that idea because he says we find that Avram really made four altars. He made an altar also by the Akedah, when he put Yitzchak on the altar. So there were four altars. So the question is, we have to understand the piyut. Why does the piyut connect it only with the three altars that Avram initially made, and not the fourth altar which he made during Akedah Yitzchak? But I think the answer is very simple. And the Zohar says that the Pesach corresponds with Avram. Shavuos corresponds with Yitzchak. Sukkot corresponds with Yaakov. Question is, why does, okay, they say Psukim, but why? Why is it that Pesach corresponds with Avram? We know it corresponds with Avram. That's why we probably start, I mentioned the Halach Manya, we invite people in. Avram is the symbol of Chesed. The whole Haggadah, in a sense, is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu followed through, so to say, with his commitment to Avram Avinu. But so Avram is the symbol of Pesach. Why is Avram the symbol of Pesach? Because what is the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Goy mikarev goy, the separation of one nation from another. When do we make God our king? We make God our king when we separate ourselves from the other nations who have other kings. And the matzah, when did the Jewish people take the matzah? The Jewish people took the matzah when they left Egypt. When we make reference to matzah zushan ochlin, we not have reference to the matzah that the Jewish people ate with the Karban Pesach at night. But when they were leaving Egypt, they didn't have enough time. God redeemed them very quickly. There was not enough time for the dough to rise. So the matzah symbolizes the separation of the Jewish people from Egypt. They ceased to be Egyptians. And what is necessary to recognize God as our king is to see ourselves as no longer subjects of another nation, of another country, of another king. So when the Jewish people left, matzah is identified with the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the, and it's very interesting. Yerushalmi says that the kos paro biyadi, we learn out the four cups, because four times it says kos paro biyadi. Okay, Rashi says it differently. The four times the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar HaMashkim saw them, it's the Sar HaMashkim, the butler of Paro was in jail with Yosef. He saw himself as the Sar HaMashkim mentioned in his dream, and then in the interpretation of the dream, Kos Paro, the cup of Paro was in my hand. So four times it's mentioned, the cup of Paro. So four times we drink a cups of wine at the Seder. Well, what does that got to do with it? So the simple answer is, in other words, Pesach and night, we demonstrate not just that we demonstrate freedom by acting in a royal manner. So the coast of Paro is transferred from Paro to us. That's the simple explanation. But I was thinking this year that maybe there's another explanation. Maybe no, Kos Paro is not transferred. We are the Sar HaMashkim. We don't replace Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu replaces Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes our king. Till now, Paro was our king. Till now, Paro was our master. We are the Sar HaMashkim. The four cups that we have at the Seder, especially if it's Kos Shel Bracha. I don't want to get into that shaila now. It's a kos of bracha. Those are the cups of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are holding when we recite the brachas to God. We just make that cup and we're allowed to drink from it. It's a kos of bracha, but it's the kos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of God. The transfer of the kos paro to the kos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's symbolic of God being king. And why is that the symbol of Cheiros? Because when Paro ceases to be our king, we cease to be his avadim, we cease to be his slaves, we cease to be his servants. And the more we become the servants of God, the less we are the servants of Paro. And so the coast represents, we are the butlers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are in the service of God. And God is our king. And that makes us free. And it's interesting, the Jewish people, yes, they were free when they left Egypt. But when did they sing Shira? Only afterwards. Why? Because in their mind, Paro was still king. And since Paro was still king, they were not free, and they were not free. They were not free anymore. So the only once Paro was deposed as king in their minds. And when was Paro deposed as kings in their minds? When all his charioters, all his soldiers were drowned. Paro no longer played any role in their lives. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was truly, in their minds, able to be king. And in a sense, we could say the kittel that we wear is identified with the Yamim Narayim. The Yamim Narayim, we proclaim God as king. But there's a difference between the kingship of God that is focused in Nisan and the kingship of God in Yamim Narayim. Yom Narayim, we focus in God as king of the world. Nisan, we focus in God as king of the Jewish people, Malkeinu. And when he's our king, no one else rules over him. In a sense, being king of the world enables us to see him as our king. But so long as we stand in fear of the other kings of the world, it's difficult for us to recognize God, not just as king of the world, but as our king. And I want to suggest this is, now, there is a tendency among many in the yeshiva community to ignore the significance of the rest of the world, to make believe that the rest of the world doesn't exist. And somehow they feel that if they focus on the significance of the rest of the world, if we're concerned about what's happening outside our Dalet Amos, somehow that takes us away from our Avodas Hashem, from our service of God. But the truth is, if we don't focus to a certain degree, not saying, on the rest of the world also, the significance of the rest of the world, if we're not concerned about what's going on in Ukraine, if we're not concerned about Shmichas Damim, not only ultimately comes back to bite us, because a lot of the problems that exist outside that we felt were unimportant because it wasn't in our community, comes to our community. But in a sense, we're taking away from the significance of God as king of the world. But of course, we have to see primarily God as our king. And our perspective of God as king of the world has to emanate from our perspective of God as our king. We lead the way. We don't lead the way by sending out people to influence. We don't hand out pamphlets to the other nations of the world, how they should act. But sometimes by the way we act, we have an influence on the way others act. And I want to say about my uncle, at a time when most Rosh Yeshivas were giving the impression that the outside world isn't important, not only the outside world isn't important, They gave the impression that in the outside, if we're to the extent that we're involved in the outside world, it takes away for our recognition of God as our king. They didn't say it in those words, but very often that's what it is. So they don't, in a sense, they're taking away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech HaOlam. As we say in every bracha, Melech HaOlam. It's our personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that leads us to recognize God as king of the whole world. But what we have to understand is that, my uncle gave his Talmidim the ability to think that we can be in the outside world, we can contribute to the outside world, and at the same time recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being not just the king of the whole world, but having a special kingship with Klal Yisrael, with us. And today, when you look out, you look at the American scene, and you see so many people, you see doctors, lawyers, and many of them committed to Torah and mitzvot. I think a large part of that credit goes to my uncle, because my uncle represented this idea of focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu first as Malkeinu, as our king, but together with that as Melech HaOlam, as king of the world also. There was no conflict. We could do both.
Ready for questions? Are you ready for questions? Are you done? Are you ready for questions?
Yeah, I'm ready for questions, sure.
Okay. Why does the Rambam paskin like Ben Zoma over the Rabbim?
Because there are many reasons given. The Rambam seems to have felt that was the Maisa of Rabbi Lezer, Tafin, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Hoz Yoshim ben Abrach, and Rambam's gear says, Omar Lehem, he said to them. So it seems like he made a statement to these Chachamim, they were the leading Chachamim, and it was sort of accepted. So since it was accepted by the leading Chachamim at the time, this is just the theory I'm suggesting right now. So Memela, we see that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from the Haggadah. We see that.
Okay, another question is it based on what you were saying about we have to be separate? Is it inappropriate to see oneself as an American if we have to be separate from the other nations?
No, it's not inappropriate to see ourselves as Americans, but we have to see that our devotion to our country emanates from our Jewishness, not our Jewishness from our Americanism. In other words, today there's a very unfortunate situation, and unfortunately it's attaching itself to some elements in the Orthodox community also, that our Jewishness emanates from our universalism. Universalism is important, and Jewishness is important. But our universalism has to emanate from our Judaism, not chas v'shalom, the reverse.
Is the minhag that only the one who leaves the Seder wears a kittel, or do all married men wear a kittel?
All right, so there's a discussion about that. My uncle wanted to say that according to the Netziv, everybody should wear a kittel, all married men. I don't know why necessarily married, but okay. All married men should wear a kittel. And according to my grandfather, that it was in order to ask questions, so only the one who leads the Seder can ask it. To me, it seems, whatever reason you give, I don't think it makes a big difference, because there's no halacha of the kittel. It's to give over a message. And that message is given over, I think, even if just one person wears the kittel. Matter of fact, so that's what we could say.
Would you say that your uncle's atzal was the only gadol aside from your father's atzal who saw modernity as not a threat?
I don't know what modernity means, but I think to various degrees, different Talmidei Chachamim and different Rosh Yeshivas and whatever, there were all kinds of different degrees that the people recognize, because you know, some Rosh Hashivas, and I understand why, publicly have one attitude, but when privately, when they talk with an individual Talmud, they might tell an individual Talmud, an individual student, maybe you should get a profession in the outside world also. I don't want to mention the names of the Rosh Hashivas, probably many people understand it, but sometimes they had I'm not sure that this is the way to go, but they had an official position, but when they talked privately, they evaluated how that would affect that individual student, as well what impact that individual student will have on his community and on other people as well.
Is there one possible difference, because you spoke about the relationship between us and the rest of the world? What about between us and the non-frum? Let's say it seems that Rav Kook was very much involved with the non-frum Jews, and maybe didn't care as much as the rest of the world.
Of course, we have to be involved with the non-frum Jews, but we have to do it in a manner that our involvement with them will not affect our perspective of our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I mean, look at some yeshivish. I mean, from the yeshivish community, they do a community kollel. So are they more? So they're less scared of dealing with non-religious Jews than with non-Jews.
It might depend on the individual person. You know, there are other factors. Religion, being observant, is one thing. Attitudes, character traits will also play a role. You know, sometimes you could have a religious Jew that like challenges everything and says, instead of asking what and trying to understand, he asks why, with the implication, lachem below lo. You understand? So yes, that plays a role, but also the character traits of the people also plays a role.
Ramosha Feinstein used two matzahs, but his son changed to three. Was this the same issue as Reb Chaim and the Beis Halevi?
I can't tell you. You have to ask them. His son changed to three. Yeah. The only thing I'll suggest is that in Europe, the Gdolim in Europe were more, I don't want to use the word brave, but the tendency was that they would sometimes feel a certain Rishon was more likely correct than another Rishon. In America, we feel somewhat, and not me, I mean, but the Rabbanim, the Poskim in America, they are more hesitant to not just Europe, but post-World War II, those that learned post-World War II, it's like they are more hesitant to use that approach, and they're more likely to follow the Shulchan Aruch or Mishneh Berurah or the Aruch HaShulchan, rather than say, I think that I feel that this sheetah is correct. And there's probably good reason for it.
Is there any difference between the chiyuv of women for men and Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim that changes the chiyuv of tefillah? I think they mean Kriya Shema as we understand it.
The Magen Avraham suggests that women are chayavos in the Parsha Vayomer and the brachas after Kriya Shema because of Zikar and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because his feeling is, I think, because since his feeling is that Zikar Yetzias Mitzrayim of every day is not part of Kriya Shema on a deraisa level, so it's all day and all night. So since it's all day and all night, you know, it's once during the day, once during the night, It's not a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. A mitzvah that's dependent upon time, there has to be a period when that mitzvah doesn't apply. So according to the Magen Avraham, women are required in Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim, women are required in Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim of every day. Whether women are required in Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach and night, that's a discussion that the Minchas Chinuch raises. It has to do with, from the Chinuch, it appears that women are required. But some, the Minchas Chinuch says that according to Tosfos, women are not required in the Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach night. It could be, a difference could be made, but there is a discussion about it, about the Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach night.
This last thing posted, some high-profile rabbis have called your uncle an apikores. Why and what is your response to their labeling your uncle? I just posted a link to your father's response that he wrote in the Allgemeiner after the Shloshim. I don't know if that's a good enough a link that I posted.
My attitude is that if you look at Torah today, there is no Rosh Yeshiva whose Torah is being learned more than my uncle's. Even in the yeshivas that the Talmidim would talk against my uncle, my uncle's Torah is being learned more than any other Rosh Yeshiva today. And the difference is the Torah of the other Rosh Yeshivas, as time passes by, it's being learned less and less. And my uncle's Torah, as time passes by, is being learned more and more.
Okay, thank you. May his neshama have an aliyah, and may be continued to be inspired by his Torah and his teachings. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Is the next share going to be on Sunday on Israfag?
Yeah.
So yes. Everyone, stay tuned to your regular source of hearing about the share, just for confirmation of the time. But it will probably be regular time and on this same link. Okay. So everyone, a good moed, a chag sameach, and.